If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Book of Romans, chapter 8. I originally had that I was going to start in verse 12, but I decided to back it up a bit. I'm going to start at verse 10 and then go ahead and go through verse 17, and then I'm going to add one more there on the end that you should recognize from a little later in the chapter. So, the reason I decided to back it up is because verse 12 starts with the word therefore. And whenever you have a therefore, you know that it's tied to something before that. So I had to include the therefore. So. All right. Book of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 10. Hear now the word of our Lord. If Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering in order that we may also share in His glory. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. As we read God's word for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. Well, last Sunday was Pentecost, of course, and I remembered the correct bird pin today. I forgot to switch to my dove last week. Last week I had Tweety Bird, but I have a dove on my lapel today. And as with all of the seasons of the year, Pentecost lasts more than just one day. It's a season. And different church traditions vary the length of the celebration of Pentecost. It used to be that Pentecost would go all the way through until Advent, and then some people decided, well, maybe it should only be half of the summer. Then some people thought, well, maybe it should just be the one day, and the rest of the summer will be something else. And so I like to try to find the compromise, and we have the season of Pentecost in which we focus on the work and power of the Holy Spirit within the church, and then we move on to Kingdom Tide after we get through the hottest part of the year. But, you know, Holy Spirit revealed Himself to us on Pentecost in the form of a tongue of fire, so it's only right we talk about the Holy Spirit during the hottest part of the year, right? But as we go through the season of Pentecost and we look at the various works of the Spirit, the very first Sunday that we come to after the Sunday of Pentecost itself is Trinity Sunday. And that's today. And Trinity Sunday is here to remind us that although we spend a lot of time focused on just God the Father in some parts of Scripture, and then we get to the Gospels and we focus on Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ ascends into heaven, and we focus on the Holy Spirit, God is, and always has been, eternally triune. We worship a triune God. And the mystery of the Trinity is one which is impossible for our limited human minds to fathom. We can come up with all kinds of analogies to talk about the Holy, or about the Trinity, about the way that we have one God in three persons. And we can theorize, we can ponder, we can study Scripture, we can come up with all kinds of analogies, like the ones from that funny video that I showed a couple years ago with St. Patrick. And all of those attempts to understand the Trinity will come up short. We don't fully know how God exists as one God in three persons, but we know He does. Now, although we tend to emphasize one part of the Trinity or another at different times, we must always remember that the God who we are praying to is eternally Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And whenever one is at work, they all are at work. Be it creation or salvation or the work of the church. The Holy Spirit dwells with us here today as our connection to the Father and to the Son. And the Father and the Son speak to us through the Holy Spirit. All three together with us. That is the Trinity. And that is what today's celebration in the church, or today's remembrance in the church, or whatever you want to call it, is about, is remembering that although we may focus on the work of the Father, we may focus on the work of the Son, we may focus on the work of the Spirit, we can't ever separate the three. Because we have one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, as we come to the passage today, I was trying to figure out what passage to preach on, and I looked at several different passages and several different ways that I could take the sermon today. You know, it is Trinity Sunday, so I thought, well, maybe I should preach a good Athanasian sermon on the mysteries of the Trinity. You know, we have the Athanasian Creed, which more than any other historical statement or creed in all of Christianity, in no uncertain doubts, talks about the Trinity and the mysteries therein. I thought I could preach a good Athanasian sermon today and pick one of those passages. And I thought I can pick a passage that emphasizes the reality of the Holy Spirit both in the Old and New Testament. And I looked at several different passages, and I came to this one in the book of Romans, which is one of the lectionary options, which it's not, I think, the lectionary option for this year. Here's a confession moment. Your pastor's not a lectionary preacher. I don't stick strictly to the lectionary. When I decide to preach from the lectionary, I tend to look at all 3 years worth of the lectionary and see which one I feel God is leading me to preach on at that point in time. Which, in case you don't know, the lectionary is a set of readings that was put together a long time ago in a 3-year cycle so that within 3 years you would read most of Scripture and have the opportunity to preach or teach from most of Scripture. Some pastors strictly preach from the lectionary. They follow the 3-year cycle. Some years they pick the Gospels. Some years they pick the Old Testament. Some years the Epistle. Other years the Psalms. And some absolutely insane pastors try to preach on all 4 passages every single week. You think my sermons are long. But as I was going through, I looked at this passage and I came to the verse that talks about the fact that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The question came, what does that mean? What does it mean that we are heirs of God? And so I decided to take some time today looking at this passage and looking at both the Trinity here, because we see all 3 persons of the Trinity here. That's why it's a good Trinity Sunday passage. But also look at what it means for us that we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Going backwards in this passage, the beginning of chapter 8, in my Bible it has the heading, and in case you didn't know, the headings that you see in the Bible, those are not original, in case you didn't know that. Hate to break it to you, the headings themselves are not gospel. They were added later. But the heading in mine for the first 17 verses of chapter 8 says, Life through the Spirit. And we see this as we go through the passage here. We see the Apostle Paul talking about what it means to live in the Spirit rather than living according to the ways of the world or according to the ways of the flesh, as he puts it in this particular passage. And when he's talking about living by the flesh or living according to the flesh, he is talking about the ways of the world, the ways of our human understanding, our human desires. It's putting our will, the will of the flesh, above the will of God. Now, I emphasize this because there are some who would have, at the time this was written, misread what he was talking about. And even in today's modern world, there are those that would read this and misunderstand what he is talking about. So first, let me tell you what he is not talking about. He's not talking about some Gnostic view of the physical is evil, the spiritual is good. You know, he's not talking about this dualistic worldview of we are trying to escape from the flesh, escape from the physical, and ultimately just become spirits. That's not what he's talking about. That was an idea that was very prevalent in his time and actually is still in many ways here today, where everything about the flesh is evil. That's not what he's talking about. When he's talking about living by the flesh, he's talking about living by the world. When he's talking about living by the Spirit, he's not talking about our spirits, our souls, whatever that may be. He's talking about the Spirit of God. So life in the Spirit or living by the Spirit is living by God's will. Have I thoroughly confused you all yet, or are you still following me? Yes, no, maybe? All right, I'll trust that you're paying attention and that you're with me. But he goes through this passage and he talks about the consequences of living by the way of the world, living by the flesh. And as we see the consequences of this, the consequences all lead to death, both physical and spiritual. And they don't lead to true happiness. If you look at people who are living simply by the whims of their flesh, simply by the whims of their desires, and every random urge that pops into them, are they ever truly happy? They may seem happy for a time. They may pretend that they're happy. But in those quiet moments when they think no one's looking, they show the true unhappiness of what life by the flesh can bring. The Apostle Paul pulls no punches here. He says that living by the flesh brings only death. Death of your soul. But there's good news. Amen? There's good news, because although our sin and living by the ways of the world brings death, Christ brings life. And he says, if Christ is in you, then even though you are subject to physical death, because we live in an imperfect world marred by sin, we can receive spiritual life through Christ. And we see here the life-giving power of the Spirit. Our mortal bodies do still die, but our spiritual bodies will live if we remain in Christ. And he goes on, he says, and this is that therefore that I had to back up so you knew what we were talking about. He says, we have an obligation not to the flesh, but living by the Spirit and putting to death the misdeeds of the body and through which we will live. And we see this great power that comes when we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And in this instance, I'm not talking about the power that we looked at last week on Pentecost. That's there. That's a different sermon. I preached that sermon last week. But the power that we have here when we live in the Spirit, when we are willing to put to death the things of this world, we have the power to find joy even in the most horrible circumstances. We can find love for those who hate us. We can find peace in the midst of chaos. We can find life in the midst of death. That is what life in the Spirit gives to us. I love stories that I hear of Christians singing in the midst of tragedy. Of course, the biblical example in the book of Acts is when Paul and Silas are in prison and they're just singing their hearts out to God. They're sitting there in prison, they're chained to the wall in pitch darkness, and they're just singing away, praising God. And we look at that and go, wow, what great faith those apostles had. Wouldn't it be great if we were to be able to live like them? Brothers and sisters, I've seen regular, everyday Christians like you and me exhibit the exact same kind of faith. Back in 1993 or 94, I can't remember if I had been born yet. Well, no, I wouldn't have been born. I know, I'm young. Y'all can laugh at me. Back in 93 or 94, there was a fire in my parents' home church in Belleville, Illinois. And the fire happened on Good Friday. They were getting ready for an Easter production that they did every year, and they were testing the lights before they opened the door, and it was a big sanctuary. The sanctuary would hold 1,500 people. And they were testing the lights before they opened the door and let people come in, and there was a fire on the set. And within just a very short amount of time, the entire sanctuary was engulfed in flames. And it didn't take long for the news broadcasters to go and to start filming the fire and everything. And you would expect the members of the church to be standing outside wailing and just crying out, and Lord, why would you let this happen? But the news broadcasters got to catch something that was truly amazing to them. Because while the sanctuary burned, over in the edge of the parking lot, there stood the cast of the production, all dressed as angels and biblical characters, and they were singing hymns to God. Because even 30 minutes later, there would have been 1,500 people in that sanctuary. I also heard a story a couple years ago of a church in Egypt that was blown up by terrorists on Holy Saturday, the night before Easter. And Easter Sunday morning, you know what that congregation did? They gathered in the shelled out ruins of that building and sang praises to God. Brothers and sisters, when we open ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, we too can feel that joy in the midst of sorrow. that peace in the midst of chaos. And all of the wonderful things that come from being children of God. We can have that joy, we can have that peace, because for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for those who have allowed the Holy Spirit to come into their hearts, then you have been adopted into the family of God. I know it's an unpopular thing to say today, but contrary to popular belief, not all human beings are children of God. People are not born children of God simply by virtue of being human. Now, all human beings are made in the image of God, and that makes them of infinite worth to our Creator. All human beings are loved and cherished by God, but not all human beings are children of God. Only those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, put to death the misdeeds of their flesh, put to death the sinful desires of this world, and choose to live by the Spirit. Then we are given that spirit of adoption. Then we become sons and daughters of God. And as the Apostle Paul writes here, by Him we cry, Abba, Father. You know what that term Abba means? It doesn't just mean father. It means daddy. I don't remember which pastor it was, but I heard one pastor talking about a trip that he took to Israel. And he was walking down the streets of Israel and he heard little Jewish boys and girls running up and down the street yelling, Abba, Abba, as they ran into their daddy's arms. That is who God wants to be for us. And through the Spirit, we are able to cry out, Abba, Father, as the Spirit Himself testifies in our hearts that we truly are sons and daughters of God. And because of that, then we are heirs of His kingdom. And what that means is that one day, although our physical bodies will die here on this earth, we will inherit new bodies, perfect bodies, resurrected bodies in heaven. We will inherit the joy and the love and the peace of heaven. And on the final day of resurrection, we will inherit eternity with Him. That is what it means to be heirs of God. Now, it doesn't mean life will always be easy. In fact, quite the opposite. Things on this earth will sometimes be hard. In fact, there is a stipulation here in verse 17. If we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His suffering. If we are to be heirs of God, inheriting all the same things that Christ will inherit, that means we also inherit His suffering. That's not something that we like to talk about. But as great as the suffering that Christ went through on the cross, think of the joy and the prize that He has received in heaven. Our suffering will never compare to His. But if we are willing to bear that suffering on behalf of God, our Father, then we too will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Because in the end, no matter how bad things get, ultimately, God works for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Amen.